as I have been the majority of my life, being at the right place at the right time, learning from teachers who had new and different ideas from what was accepted, and that was in 1964. Oh, 20 years old. One baby and one soon to be on the way. So my life has traveled a lot in balancing family, working, sorting that out as time went by, and also studying and learning. But really, everything really began to me in 73 when I moved to White Rock, the family, we moved to White Rock. My then husband was a school teacher in Surrey, and my children were, 10 and 8 by then, I think. My life changed. When I moved to White Rock, it was like White Rock was waiting for me. I don't know if any of you have moved into a place in the city. I was in Richmond at the time. There was no room. I didn't even know what there was room for, but there was, everything was taken up. I got to White Rock. Next thing I knew, I was in the PTA, organizing school carnivals. Never organized anything in my life, but I was doing it. But the most thing when it came to my metaphysical world was I was invited to start teaching tarot at a metaphysical bookstore in Surrey, which I worked at for 6 years. Started teaching. The next thing, of course, people wanted readings. So I started reading. Now, the bookstore that I worked at, which was later very well known for those from the Lower Mainland as Phoenix Metaphysical Bookstore, used to bring in speakers. And so I used to attend workshops. Past life regression, which has become one of my second, you might say, disciplines that I work with and teach, began more. Then I happened to land on a television show for a couple of years. And again, propelled my face, I guess you could say, into a whole different sphere. And always I kept growing, and my kids were getting older and older. And then I wrote a book, 79, I wrote a book. And so how do you get, in those days I had some distributors I created, but how do you get it out? Oh, you start traveling and you start. So I happened to attend a few psychic fairs in the Vancouver area, and then my son graduated, didn't know what he wanted to do, and I said, well, why don't you travel with me? So we took off on a month's tour, different cities, Calgary and Edmonton, and went on from there. We went to Winnipeg, and then we went to Phoenix, Arizona. Now, the title of my talk today is Everything is Possible, or Is It? And a lot, and then what, believe it or not, I'm just showing how things are possible besides creating this today, is that I didn't know if I wanted to go to Phoenix or not. When the person who produced our shows at that time had a couple of, you might say, failures. And it was February. Phoenix kind of felt good, the idea of February, right? So I began to do some things. Well, if I can do this. So my son and I said, I was going away to do something, and I said, if I make $1,500, I can go. Well, I made more than that. Well, I really only want to drive down one way. I want to fly back. Or I want to fly the other way. The next day, I had a store by this time, actually. Gal walks into my store, one of the other psychics that I know, and said, oh, I've just driven back from Phoenix. It's easy. Do you want to drive back down with me? See what I mean? Like how you just follow the yellow brick road? So my son and I set off in this old van, which thank God he was there because he had to keep starting the thing. One of the other girls nearly rolled us. We never let her drive again. But the truth was, I went to Phoenix to become the co-owner of the psychic fairs. Because again, it wasn't a very good show. And I just happened to say, in a hot tub to one person, that I heard later resounded all across Canada, if the person who had the shows has a little bit of money issues, let me know. What did I even have? I don't know. And that resounded. Next thing I know, flew back home, got back in our regular routine, and in comes this person I hardly know at the time, and said, do you want to become partners in this? 11 years later, I left them. For 5 years, my business partner at the time, Dan, and I worked them. He did all the publicity. I looked after the exhibitors and the rentals and stuff like that. And we grew. And then I, for the last 6 years, I had them on my own. And different people came and went to help me with them. But you follow the road until finally I was kind of worn out. And I said, I'm done with this. But the thing was, the whole time, I was also teaching, learning, traveling to take workshops of information that I wanted to learn. If I wanted to learn something, I got on an airplane and went. Now, was I called to do that a lot? No. But every now and again, that calling would happen. And always, it worked out. I had a prosperity teacher that lived in Georgia. So down I went to Georgia. Incredible experience. Learned, met a lot of different people. Eventually, I also went on a spiritual pilgrimage in England with her. That was probably the furthest I traveled. But I've been to Calgary lots. I've been to Toronto. I've also attempted to do other things and never worked very well. It was almost like this hand where he said, this is where you belong. I became a minister for a short while with another organization which I am now. And that, I was too metaphysical because I believed in reincarnation. And I made no bones about that. And I did tremendous prayer work that often, because I was psychic, I would tune in as I'm praying and I would get these visions which I would talk about, and sometimes they were past life stuff. And that didn't go down well. So that didn't last too long. But I realized that what I love most of all is really sharing inspiration for people. During the years, I wrote a number of books. Some great, some not so great. Which I'm still working. Now we're getting them into e-books. It takes time. And then 10 years ago, I moved to Penticton. Because of a lot of circumstances. But again, possibility came along. So how does one create? For me, very often, it is very much like how this today occurred. I was sitting at my computer emailing somebody from a series, actually. And it was like this thought dropped in the middle of my head. Now, I don't think by thoughts dropping into my head. I think by, like most of us, we have a thought and we rumble on it. But this thought came right down and said, go create a meeting down there. This was about November, December, November, I think. Late November. So what do you do? Well, now you've had this almost like this drop in from above. So what do you do? Well, you start doing what you got to do. I started saying, my dear friend Brenda here, we got to find a place. Now, I have a busy, fairly busy schedule, plus I have some, unfortunately, some health conditions that also have to be considered. And so it took us a little while with weather and other things, but we finally came down, found this place here, thanks to Willie, in a way, because Willie gave us some names of stuff. And I had been in contact with a few people, and the rents were a little bit higher than what I, because I wasn't sure what was going to happen. I went to our board, even though I'm the president, and said, this is what I want to do. I got their approval. To make a long story short, we decided to rent this. We came back, twice we came down? And, that's before today. And we sorted it all out. Easy, smooth, no real big difficulty whatsoever. That's one of the keys. If you get inspiration, you follow. And I'll come back to why that also works in a second. Then, now, how do we get the advertising out? It's not like my board said, okay, you've got this much to advertise. So I made up little cards, and Willie put them around, and she said, as fast as she put them around, they came down, and that often happens. Because I do know from experience, it's word by mouth. I kept posting on Facebook, I was going to be here. And one lady said that's where she found it, not that I know that page, but it was there. And that's really, really what I just all we could do, and also began to prepare. How is it going to look? What are we going to do? What are we going to bring? How are we going to play this? And in fact, several people said to me, well, what are you going to do there? And I know several other people from Penticton were planning on coming, but we had a lot more snow up there. So how does it really work? You see, we hear all the time everything is possible, correct? Everything is possible. In our minds, it's always really possible, but how do we take that vision and make it a practical application? How do we take whatever we are wanting to create or to do and have it come into a reality? There are certain steps, and I find very often people are not really aware, and then they wonder why I really want to do this, but somehow it doesn't work. And sometimes that does happen. Sometimes things just don't come together, like when I tried to do other businesses and they just didn't seem to work as well. Now Chandra knows this because Chandra also often shows up in Penticton, although she lives over in Rock Creek. She created her world. And believe me, she didn't create that by just sitting and imagining it. That's a beginning place. We talk about visualization. We talk about seeing. And what I find what's really important when you see something, you've got to know that reality inside you. You've got to know that it's real. So when I was thinking about this meeting starting and knowing that we're going through to June, I had to know people were going to show up. But the little me, the personality me, is like, I wonder how many people will show up, right? Well, we're it, because I know some exercise how to do that. Every time that happened, I would clear it away and know that there will be people. You can't have an inspiration come in and then have nobody show up. And I'm sure we would have had more if it wasn't the weather. I really do. But that's, and I'm thrilled with this, believe me. Now, but what's the major step? The major step is to do something. You see, we all make a decision. And often how I explain this is this. I'm from New Zealand, which is why I sometimes have a funny accent. Long time ago, but it's still there at times. And let's say I decide to go back to New Zealand, which I'd love to do for next Christmas or something. I appreciate it when I like this one. I'd love to do that. So I make a decision to do that. But the reality is nothing will happen until I actually commit to that by, usually it's buying my ticket. When you buy your ticket, see the action? It's committed. And once you're committed, then you're on the path. Otherwise, it is a dream. It's a possibility. And that's where people often make the mistake, I find, is because they think, because they've decided, oh yeah, it's going to happen. And very often some of the self-help books talk about that. Visualize it, know it, that's it. Knowing it is really important, I will agree that. But you've got to do something, because we talk about universal love energy, we talk about universal energy, whatever you want to call it, if you want to go into the spiritual terms, God or loving force, the name really doesn't matter. But there is an energy that exists. We know that because miracle healings happen. We know this because magical things happen. Like being in a hot tub in Phoenix and all of a sudden having a business that runs all year. And believe me, it didn't cost me hardly a penny to get into that at the time. A little bit, not much. So what is it? It's because we do something. I spoke my word. I spoke my word, which resounded and it came back. When I want to go to New Zealand, I then go and find the best ticket price I can to get down there. You've got to do something to allow the energy to come into an alignment, to allow the energy to work for you. Now, again, another thing that often people stop is when things get a little difficult. You came in this morning and said, I didn't know if you would be here because of the snow. Snow. Brenda has a beautiful big car because from the prairies. She moved from Alberta here. She knows how to drive in snow better than me. I got a little car. My old age, you know. One I can step up into easily. But it's not her big car. So I said, do you mind driving today? When she arrived at my place, where she comes from Summerland area. No, you know I love to drive. Oh, good. But it's like, you've got to sometimes overcome those obstacles. got to overcome what's going on, because you're committed to your end result. So a lot of people come in to see me because they want to change their lives or they want to do something or other. And very often, they want something and they have all this mental activity. How many of you here know that your mind is really busy all the time? Hands up. Yeah. You know, it's like, and it's usually a, just had a person, oh my goodness. And so you're not really into your feelings, but your mind's really running the show here. Happens a lot. So you've got something you want to do. So what does your mind do? Does it jump up and down and say, whippy, good? Usually it says, well, what about this? And maybe that. And you should really watch for that over there. So the next thing you know, you'll be thinking, well, I don't know if I really want to do this. Because it looks too big. It looks like there's obstacles. And so guess what? Procrastination takes over. And I sometimes do this procrastinational stuff myself. But I just like, no, I'm doing it. So how many are procrastinators? Enough of you. I'm probably the same ones that put your hands up for overthinking. Because that's where it comes from. Also, how many people find they get fearful about stepping into something new or different? Anybody? So that always comes from your mind too. Took me years to learn that fear was mentally driven. Because if we feel it's an emotion, because we feel it, but it's really driven by the mind. So how do we then go create these possibilities we want when in fact our mind is messing us up? Two things. I call it the first step principle. Written up in one of my little early books. And it's like this. Usually you have an end result, an end goal, right? This one was to have a meeting here today and have a meeting the first Sunday of every month through to June. That was my goal. So now, what's my first step? My first step was to find a place to hold it that fitted the pocketbook, that fitted being able to get here, had room. There were some things, washrooms, kitchen, all of that in this place survived that. So we got that sorted out. Okay, what is the next step? The next step is, how do we get the word out? That was the big one. How do we get the word out? And we managed to do some things to get the word out. And believe me, we depend on you to get the word, because it's phrased. Now, but what the main thing is, we go step by step. So when I looked at thinking about creating this, I didn't go, oh my goodness, we've got to find a place, we have to advertise, we're going to get people. I trusted that, you know the old saying, field of dreams, build it and they will come. Somebody will show up. And then I had friends, they're civil artists from the north here, that came. And for me, that support, when you have support, the mental image gets more support. Now, this is where often too people get into issues. How many of you have taken courses where they say, be careful who you tell your dreams to? People in network marketing will know this. They'll hear it a lot. Anybody else heard that? Well, it looks like not many of you. This is one of the big downfalls. Not everybody wants you to succeed. Because if you succeed and they don't, guess what that makes them feel? So what happens? You come along and you have a dream. I'm really going to do this. Like Chandra, I'm going to build this. I'm going to get this. I'm going to do that. Now, she knew our group is going to support her in her dream. We don't know how she's going to do it, but we're going to support her, which we did. But if you tell people who don't really do things, they're mentally going to say, I think she's bitten off too much than she can chew. I don't think she can do that. Now, thoughts are real. How many of you believe that thoughts are real? Most of you do. And if you don't, accept that it is. It sets up the energy that creates your vibrational path, that creates your future, that creates your world, that creates everything. So when you start out with a project that you want, this is your dream, and you know, I've got to know that it's real for me, I've got to hold that viewpoint of where I'm going and what I'm doing, and I've got to walk one step at a time to get there. Knowing that the path I'm on will take me around obstacles, or it'll give me the information to get over the obstacles. That's where the trust comes in over time. You learn that. So it's like when you have that, and you watch who you tell until the thought form of what you want to create is so large, someone's quote-unquote unwanted thinking, I don't usually use negativity too much, but that's what it is, unwanted thinking cannot affect the thought form. Because what you're doing is creating a thought form that will manifest into the world. Your thought form needs nurturing. It needs building. And that's why we work on visualization and that knowingness place of the end result. We don't worry about the steps. The steps will take care of themselves if you're doing what you've got to do. It's that end result and knowing, yes, it will be as it comes through. So let's just look at what we did. We made a decision. We made a commitment. We held the vision of what we wanted and went step by step in order to create it. And we watched who we said it to. We watched who said it. I'm lucky, I've done a lot of this, so I pretty know once I get going that other people's thought forms are not going to interfere too much with mine, but they sometimes have, because there are big people out there that are very powerful that way. And they do not want you to succeed. And it's a shame. Because I believe, as I said right at the beginning of today, you all have this magical light within you, this essence of yours that radiates. And whatever it is you choose to do, and often it can be just feeling good about life. What I tell a lot of people is that when I came to a place of peaceful contentment inside myself, I really liked living in that space. But then every now and again life comes along and it's not so peaceful and contented for a little while. Then I have to figure out what I need to do to be able to get back to that place where life is peacefully contented. Now I'm not 30 or 40 or 50 or even 60 anymore. And that's a place I need to be, is where I'm having more peaceful contentment days and months than what I did in my, say, even my 50s were pretty rough, actually. They were rough. But I got through them. Because if you expect, I have to tell you, actually the image came to me. I live near Skaha Lake, and I was pulling out, and I was looking at the Skaha Lake as I pulled onto the highway and to go into town, and the lake looked like glass. And in fact, I said to Brenda, the lake looks absolutely like glass. And I realized on my way home why it looked like grass is because it had an absolute sheen of ice on it. And that's like that sliding, you know, like life doesn't always slide. Well, several days later, kind of everything melted a bit, and then all of a sudden we had another freeze. And I looked at the lake, and in fact, I forget who was with me, and they said, oh, look how beautiful that is. All the little pieces that were before got melted up, and now it looked like shimmering, and it certainly wasn't smooth. And it's like nature consistently shows us how life is. One minute it's smooth sailing, and then we've got all those wrinkly things that we have to deal with and cope with and work with. And the key is just to know what it is you want, so you can move through those places, so that you can move through that, so that you can live happily, peacefully, if that's what you desire. Because remember I said, everybody's got their own path. Everybody's going to be empowered in a different way. And also, too, age plays a part. My 40-year-olds that come, I work with them a little different than 30-year-olds. And the same goes in the 50s and the 60s. But 30 to 40, very often, they're struggling with who are they and where they're going and how they're supposed to cope with everything. And basically, it's the same basic thing. I have 1 minute to say one thing, word, which I'll probably talk about next month more.
And that's acceptance.
I see a number of clients every month. Not abundances, but enough for me. Mm-hmm. And I'm finding consistently acceptance is coming up for people. This is a strange time we're living in. The earth is under a lot of pressure from the cosmos. I read about this. It's one of my little hobbies, because I'm always interested in the earth itself and volcanoes and the magnetic force from the solar system and the sunspots. So the earth itself is going under a lot of pressure. And that gets, we talk about metaphysically what's inside the reflects on the outside. And it's like we and lots of people right now are having difficulty for one thing or the other. And some things we just have to accept. And when we accept 100%, we're free to make a decision to do what we want to do. Sometimes it's just to let go. But we'll be more about that next month. I want to thank you for being here. And we're going to continue by singing our next song, which, believe it or not, I don't know how many of you here, I'm just going to turn this off just a sec. How many of you here